Order, order.
Are there any select committee reports?
The Justice and Electoral Committee began hearing submissions on the Alcohol Reform Bill on Thursday, but the day before saw the Education and Science Committee's financial review of the country's earthquake monitoring agency, the Institute of Geological and Nuclear Sciences, GNS. Their chief executive, Alex Malahoff, explained the scientific background behind the Canterbury earthquake.
This does seem to be a very energetic earthquake. Canterbury is a region of low seismicity, and it seems like in those areas where the faults are generally immature, have very high friction, and so to overcome that friction, they are very energetic when they do rupture.
Mr. Malahoff gave international comparisons.
These tend to be a little bit different to the ones in California, more like places that have earthquakes rarely, and that might be more like some of the Australian earthquakes.
Also speaking to the committee was GNS Natural Hazards Research Platform Manager, Calvin Berryman.
Overall, the region is getting more safe. Now, I say that with a lot of care, in the sense that you start to release the strain that's probably been accumulating for thousands, tens of thousands of years over this region. Now that we're having all of these, the main shock back in September, and now these really large aftershocks, that's starting to release the pressure, the stress that's in that whole region.
That meant seismic activity would diminish.
In time, when the whole aftershock sequence diminishes and any triggered events have had their play, then in fact this region is liable to be very quiet for a very long time. Looking at other parts of the world, you would think that areas like this would settle down in the sense of going back to a very low level of background seismicity over a period of months and years.
And GNS Chairman Tom Campbell touched on the earthquake's economic impact upon his organisation.
It will have some impact on GNS as a business this year because we left behind commercial work.
That's what I was thinking.
To switch to that. And so it will have some impact as a business, but I mean, clearly at the moment, that's not what we... It would be crass to be worrying about that at the moment.
GNS Chairman Tom Campbell during the Education and Science Committee's financial review of his organisation. Elsewhere, the Government Administration Committee was looking at a bill establishing a consent-based service to allow private and public sector agencies to check and confirm people's identity. Making a submission was the convener of the National Council of Women's Parliamentary Watch Committee, Wendy Zamani.
Our members support the purpose of the bill, as outlined in Clause 4, and acknowledge that some form of electronic identification is the future reality. In the words of one member, a purpose of the bill to prevent fraudulent activity is worthwhile, but unfortunately in doing so, it opens up the way to a move in the direction of an electronic ID card. There are some areas, however, that require clarification, as the draft bill does not, in our opinion, always make these clear.
One part of the bill, Ms. Zamani said was unclear, were provisions around name changes.
Some reasons for inconsistencies could be the change of name over a period, so someone's name has been legally recorded and then they've married and taken on another name, perhaps. Use of women by two surnames. Some women keep their maiden name if they're in business and they have their married surname when they're acting as a parent of their child or perhaps for a bank account or for any other reason. And also spelling variations, mistakes that may have been made.
Convener of the National Council of Women's Parliamentary Watch Committee, Wendy Zamani, making a submission on the Identity Information Confirmation Bill to the Government Administration Committee on Wednesday. And although the House rose early for the week on Wednesday, the Justice and Electoral Committee met as scheduled on Thursday to hear submissions on the Alcohol Reform Bill. One submission came from Alcohol Action spokeswoman Jenny Connor. She called for changes to alcohol labelling laws.
Because there's two kinds of labelling, there's health warnings and food labelling, and it's completely inconsistent not to have nutritional information on alcohol when it's on every other kind of food we have.
Yeah.
And I think that needs to be fixed. And in terms of health warnings, the message I think for health warnings is that the alcohol is a drug. Yeah, the reason there's a health warning on this bottle is that alcohol is a drug. It's consistent with smoking warnings in terms of health management. And it's one of the reasons that it's opposed by industry, having a health warning, is because it labels the product as a harmful product. And it is, so I do support it.
Alcohol Action spokeswoman Jenny Connor, making a submission on the Alcohol Reform Bill to the Justice and Electoral Committee on Thursday. That committee will continue hearing submissions on the bill next week. I'm Rhys Lyon, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.